If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about some of the rules of miscellaneous nature according to the jurisprudence of Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker, as always in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's talk about some of the rules of miscellaneous nature. For example, the first question that I would like to ask you, in the wedding parties or the like, is it, Sheikh Javid, permissible for women to wear transparent or tight clothes that show the contours of their bodies, the women's bodies, and other types of dresses that show most parts of their bodies, such as a screen net or something like that,
You're right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If it is a female-only gathering or a woman's only gathering, of course, it's permissible for women to wear transparent or see-through clothes that show their bodies, and of course revealing clothes that, as long as there's no one to, no non-mahram to see them, and as long as this kind of dress does not lead or does not entail any kind of, evil or any kind of facade or corruption, that's very important, because wearing such clothes in and of itself is permissible. And if it is in a female-only gathering, again, it's permissible, provided that it does not lead to any mafsada or any kind of evil.
Mm-hmm, I see. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible for a devout woman to wear glittering black shoes?
Well, wearing black shoes, a lot of people ask about wearing black shoes. First of all, this is a matter of confusion. Wearing black shoes in and of itself is permissible, black shoes. But when it comes to wearing shoes that are glittering, whether black or white or anything, if these shoes are flashy and eye-catching and they are, kind of attractive, women should not wear them in public, in places where, men might get attracted to them, So because of the mafsada or the consequences that it does, that wearing such shoes does have, women should not wear such shoes in public in places where men are there.
Sheikh Javid, in some countries, it looks like when you go there and see and visit those countries, you see that the black curry is more popular, it looks like, actually.
Yes.
All right. But in some other countries, as you mentioned in some of the previous programs, as I can recollect and remember, for example, India is not like this, the subcontinent, right? So they wear flowery and different
colorful.
Kind of color or colorful, in fact, cloths.
Sure.
But I just would like to ask you this question, about the black colors, for clothing. Is it really obligatory or incumbent on the Muslim women to wear black colors only for their clothing, such as headscarves, trousers, pants, dresses, whatever?
There's no such mandatory rule regarding wearing clothes. The Sharia, Islamic Sharia, does not prescribe black colors for clothes. In fact, the contrary could be correct, to the effect that, the Islamic Sharia wants us to wear white and, happy, colors which are white, which are which keep a person happy and kind of can affect his spirituality. Now, as far as wearing full black, it is in fact reprehensible. It is kind of makruh,
right,
to wear full black, especially when you are praying. When you are offering prayer, whether it does not make any difference whether you are, it is for men or women, wearing full black is discouraged. Mm-hmm. It is makruh to wear full black while praying, while doing any other religious activities, so it's better to avoid wearing full black. And it's not true to say that it's incumbent for women to wear black scarf, black, you know, shoes, black clothing, you know.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the miscellaneous jurisprudential rules according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And well, Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question in this part of our program. Is it permissible for a woman to wear a kind of hijab or a veil that, you know, trigger the other people's attention and unleash their desire? For example, we can say wear the veil or the chador in an unconventional way, or for example choose or use socks, for example, with a screaming collar, let's say, all right, or yes, a material which unleash the desire.
Well, it's not permissible for a woman to wear such unconventional dresses or wear such clothing or your chador or veil, whatever you call it, in an unconventional way. Because when you wear something which could be very normal in some other countries, but it's abnormal, which it is kind of unconventional in another country, women should not wear such clothing or such, you know, wear such hijab. It's not considered to be hijab when it is attractive, when it unleashes desire, and when it, you know, when it's deemed flashy and attractive. So in every and under all circumstances, it is necessary for a woman to wear a cloth which is modest and which does not attract attention.
Mm-hmm, I see. Sheikh Javid, is it also permissible to trade in, to make, to buy, to sell transparent stockings?
It is, of course, permissible to wear such clothing and to sell, to buy, and to engage in trading or such things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not restricted to stockings. Of course, a man can trade and can buy anything, you know, women's clothes, women's shoes, and women's garments, you know. Mm-hmm. Men can export and import things, buy, and, of course, carry out transactions, and the transactions are valid. The money which is generated, the income that's received through selling and through the sale proceeds,
mm-hmm,
of course, is as halal for man, and there would be no objection to such a person.
And the last question, Sheikh Javid, is it permissible for unmarried men to work in boutiques selling women's clothes and cosmetics, provided that, of course, they abide by their religious and ethical rules and norms?
If that is the condition, you know, because one of the main concerns is that men might end up falling into a sin with women, because they interact with ladies, with girls who come to buy cosmetics and, of course, anything like that. So men are very much prone, and they are very much exposed to different things interacting with ladies. Of course, if that's not the case, and as you rightly mentioned, if men observe the rules of hijab, the rules, the ethical norms, and abide by the religious principles and commandments, of course, there's no there's no objection in selling these things and working in boutiques and things like in places like that. But this is very difficult, you know, and it's necessary if one feared that the man might end up falling into a sin, he should not engage in such activities.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers and elaboration of the jurisprudential rules of miscellaneous nature according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And thank you, my dear audience, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن غلام